Okay, so remember we left off with the what I think is the incredible commentary of the Shtefanesh Derav, number 22 on your sheet, the Pei Rishman. So if you remember again, the Rebbe was amazingly quoting the philosophical position of the philosopher Philo. And according to Philo, so where does the neshama come from? Hashem's speech, excellent. So remember again, in Philo's world, which again, the truth is, interestingly enough, is if you notice, the Rebbe is not actually going to disagree all that much with what Philo's saying. It details, but the idea is that the Dibar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Malachim, and when the Malachim ultimately again choose to come down, that comes down in the forms of Neshamas. So that ultimately again, the Yisod being, that the Neshama is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So remember again, Philo is discussing the idea that the neshama is an articulation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, the neshama comes into being. So we find, again, a little bit of a different articulation in Chazal, where Chazal say that it's a chilek eloka mima'al mamash, the Baal HaTanya says, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or that it's hewn out from underneath the kisei HaKavod. But it's the same basic idea, which is the neshama is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but literally a chelik, a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you speak, your words are a piece of you. The kisei HaKavod is a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea that neshama is a piece of us. Remember again, what was our million-dollar philosophical, theological question? So why are we coming down, right? We spend a whole lifetime trying to go ahead and get back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spend an entire lifetime trying to go ahead and reverse our mistakes, do tshuva, to try to get back to the level of purity with which we came down here. Why not go ahead and save everyone the aggravation? Save HaKadosh Baruch Hu the aggravation, save us the aggravation, and simply don't send the neshama down. Let the neshama remain pure, let the neshama remain pristine, and allow the neshama to remain close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a state of absolute purity. Why this idea of coming down, messing up, doing tshuva, all for the purpose of refining ourselves to getting ourselves back to the point in which we started? So if you remember again, the Rebbe actually, and again, here is quoting Philo again. What was the mashal that Philo gave for this world? This world could be compared to what? To not just the sea, but what? A raging sea, a raging river. That the idea is when you come into this world, the taivas, the wants, the desires, the proclivities, the yetzahara, all the different things are like the raging waters. And we know this because we live this. That sometimes, again, it's difficult to keep your head above water. And sometimes it's difficult to find your way. And sometimes it's difficult just to understand what it is that you're supposed to do in any given situation. Let's begin with paragraph Vav. So again, now we begin to understand, actually before we get to this, so here we begin to see the difference between the tzaddik and the malach. You see, the malach never has to contend with the raging river. The malach never has to contend with the pushes and pulls of this world. The malach lives a very beautiful, spiritually tranquil life. Remember again, let's go back. You know the famous Gemara when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Torah. What do the Malachi Hashare say? Have you ever seen this Gemara? Right? They say, why ma yilot isha b'neinu? What is this mortal doing? Why, Kadosh Baruch Hu, would you think about giving your Torah to mere mortals, to human beings? It's such a waste. You see, the Malachim look at us and they see failure. They look at us and they can't understand us, because how could it be that anyone would willingly violate the Ratzon Hashem? How could it be that anyone would not want to follow the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because it's easier for the Malachim. Why? Because the Malachim have no challenges. Because the Malachim have no exer. Because the Malachim don't live in the raging sea that is Olam Hazeh. What are the Malachim? The Malachim live on the beautiful beach that overlooks the tranquil waters. They live in the celestial sphere. Everything is clear. Everything is easy. There is no challenge. There is no difficulty. There is no uncertainty. So the Malachim see us and they see our failures, because the Malachim don't understand who and what we are. But when a person is in this world, submersed in the raging sea, and you're able to go ahead and hold on to something meaningful, to keep your head above water, that is the greatest accomplishment. And therefore, says the Rebbe, paragraph of him, he calls that, Yotze lanu, ki atzadik omid b'madregas yose gidon malachi asharis. Now I begin to understand why the tzaddik, in fact, occupies a higher level than even malachim. Ubema kocho gadol. So ultimately, again, how does the tzaddik, how is the tzaddik able to go ahead and occupy, bless you, a higher level, even malachi asharis? Zosi koach haTorah, hahoge bo yomam v'layla. Ki be'emes haTorah hi, hakol v'kochol iblichok, kodem shenivra olam, kivar haya haTorah v'nyachat shrach. Just read a few lines and then we'll explain. V'rak ayedi haTorah, yuchal ha'adam ladaz da'ato shel makom. Shene emar as tov yiras Hashem v'das al kim timsa ukeis memele necha yiridas hanashama laguf ya'an rak al derech zeh. So okay, before we get to this, so says the Rebbe. So now we understand that the world is this raging sea. How do you keep your head above water? How do you keep your head above water? Right, you hold on to something. So what? Now remember again. If you hold on to something, the one thing you have to make sure is that what? Meaning, holding on to something is only meaningful if what?
That will help.
If the item will remain afloat, if it's going to help you remain afloat. The only way it's going to help you remain afloat is if it is certain to remain afloat itself. What is there in this world that you could count on with absolute certainty? So this is a very profound question to think about, because when you begin to think about life in this way, it reframes everything. What are the things which are certain in life? What's certain? What can you count on 1,000%? Let's go through the list. What are things you can count on?
Time.
I'm sorry?
Time.
What do you mean by that?
Like,
oh, meaning that time will go right. Time is a constant. Good. What else can you count on in life? Can you count on your relationships? So this is perhaps one of the most difficult lessons in life. You know, David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Ki avi v'imi azavuni v'Hashem ya'asveni. What does that mean? Ki avi v'imi azavuni v'Hashem ya'asveni. What does that mean? My parents have abandoned me. Hashem collect me. What does that mean? What do you think? What is David HaMelech talking about?
The only one
who's blind is Hashem. So let's analyze this. Did David HaMelech have a good relationship with his parents? So, you know, again, with his mother, we don't know, but Navi doesn't tell us. But with his father, what is very interesting, so do you remember again the episode where Shmuel HaNavi comes to Yishai? And what does he tell Yishai? Right? He says, gather your sons, right? And again, Yishai understands that's nothing big is about to unfold. So what happens? He gathers his sons, and Shmuel HaNavi goes to each of the sons, and Chesh Baruch says, not this one. And do you remember again, Shmuel HaNavi then asks Yishai, what does he ask him? Do you have any more sons? What was Yishai's answer? First he says, no. Then Shmuel says, are you sure you have no more sons? Because God told me one of your sons is going to be king and it's not any of these guys. And then you know what Yishai essentially says? Oh yeah. What was the oh yeah? Oh yeah. There's another one, but he's a katan. He's a katan. Now, what's happening over here? What's clearly happening over here is that David HaMelech, and again, you see David's relationship with his brothers also. There's something going on in this mishpacha. What is it? You know, what's the dynamic? Who knows? Is David HaMelech the prized child? Absolutely not. Is David HaMelech even regarded on the same level or same stature as his brothers? Absolutely not. See, David HaMelech says something amazing. You could understand that pasuk one of two ways. Ki avi v'imi azavuni, on a very simple level, could refer to what? But specifically what? They die. Right? At the end of the day, my parents are not going to... Right? Remember again, we hope that the world works this way, that children bury parents, not chas v'shalom the opposite. But there's a reality that the people who brought me into this world, who gave me life, who nurtured me, who loved me, are not going to be with me forever. That relationship is not sustained forever. On a deeper level, it also means that sometimes the very people who bring me into this world and are supposed to give me life and take care of me, sometimes leave. For a variety of reasons. Sometimes they just check out. Sometimes they're just dealing with their own problems. And it's a whole variety of things. Aviv v'imi azavuni is Dara Malach's way of saying something dramatically amazing, which you have to take very carefully. Human relationships are not reliable. What is it? Human relationships are not reliable. Any human relationship, you cannot guarantee its longevity. You just can't guarantee, because you don't know how long people live for. You don't know how long people remain in love for. You don't know how long people decide to remain committed to each other. Human relationships, and this is true every single life relationship, parents and children, children with parents, husbands and wives, siblings, friends, human relationships come and go. But yet David HaMelech says, V'Hashem Ya'asveni, there is one and only one relationship which is a constant in this world. And that is your relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. That is the only relationship that is a constant. That's why, amazingly enough, David HaMelech refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a fascinating way, which is Hatzur. The truth is already in the Torah, we find this. Baruch Hu is referred to as a rock. Right? Why a rock? Why a rock? Right? So I'll tell you something amazing. That, I don't know if... Sometimes people have like a boulder in their yard. I remember when we moved to Baltimore, we had a house, we had a boulder in our backyard. I don't know how it got there, whatever it is. One thing I knew for sure, which was, it was not going anywhere. Right? This thing was massive. I found that afterwards that people pay for boulders. I felt very like chashev after that. I found people, right? So understand, like, Kadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as the Torah. He's the boulder. He's the boulder. He doesn't move. He doesn't move. He is the constant. And the amazing part about the relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu is that even if you neglect it, and even if you don't pay attention to him, and even if you actively wrong him, he still remains present in the relationship. The Ribono Shel Olam is the only constant we have in life. And by the way, when you begin to understand this, so you begin to understand the importance of Ruchnius. You see, why is it that we spend so much time cultivating our religious and spiritual identity? It's because I don't want to go to Gehenna. It's because I want to go to Olam Haba. I mean, that's true. I don't want to go to Gehenna, and I do want to go to Olam Haba. But that's not my motivation. My motivation is because my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only relationship that I could count on day in and day out. It is the only relationship that will remain a constant no matter what is happening in life. Ki avi v'imi azavuni, the nature of human relationships, and it's important to understand this, is that they come and go. It's just the nature of them. Of course, we have to put in, if you're in a relationship, you have to put in all of your effort to maintaining it, to nurturing it, to nourishing it, to allowing it to thrive, but you have absolutely no idea the longevity of that relationship or what happens to the people in that relationship. The only constant is my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now you begin to understand, if life is this raging river, and my goal is to remain afloat, right? That's the goal. I can't get sucked downstream. I can't lose myself in the current. I can't drown. So how do I keep afloat? What is the life flotation device? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam is the flotation device in the raging river of life. Now, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're using the, HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents everything. So yes, it's Torah. It's learning Torah. It's living a life of Torah. It's chesed. It's tzedakah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single aspect of a relationship with the divine. I want to be clear, because this is so much more than just about learning Torah. This is so much more than that. Learning Torah is one function of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one element of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are so many other aspects to that. And all of those aspects, those are the flotation devices of life. He goes on, he says, Uke'es, Memela, I'm in the last two lines of paragraph Vav. Uke'es, Memela, Necha Yeridas Hanashama Laguf, Ya'an, Rak Al Derech Ze, Tuchal Laharim Atzma, So let's take apart this statement a little bit. The Rebbe says, now begin to understand why it is so incredibly profound and important that the neshama comes down into this world, into the body. Why? Listen to these words. Ya'an, Rak al derech ze, tuchal laharim atzma, al chaviroseha hamelochim. It is only coming down to this world that the neshama has the ability to become greater than the malachim. What does that mean? How do you understand that phrase? How is it that by coming down to this world, the neshama that comes down here becomes greater than the neshamas in the olam ha'emes, in the celestial sphere? One word. Excellent. Struggle. It is all about the struggle. You see, there is no growth and there is no greatness without struggle. If you don't have to try to keep your head above water in the raging sea of life, then there really is no significant opportunity for greatness. Greatness is what occurs when you engage and are successful in the struggle. Greatness is what occurs when you try to keep your head above water. Greatness is what occurs when you grab onto the Ribono Shel Olam as your flotation device in this world. And this is such an incredibly important idea. Because people sometimes think, you know, sometimes I've heard many people say this, that if I'm really going down the right path in life, then everything should fall into place. I would argue just the opposite. If everything falls right into place for you, chances are you're not going down the right path in life. How do you know you're going down the right path in life? The telltale sign that you're going down the right direction in life is that there's a struggle. Wherever there is struggle, Kiddusha is always close behind. Wherever things are too easy, it doesn't mean it's not good. It doesn't mean everything has to be difficult. But generally, things in life that are easy are generally not that meaningful. The things we have to struggle for are the things which are... I'll give you just an incredible example of this. By the Akedah. So remember again, Avraham Avinu was ready to Shecht Yitzchak. What happens last minute? Might Malach or HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out, Atishlach Yadcha Alanar. Don't do anything. There was a test, there was an Nisan, you passed. Great, don't do anything. What happens in the next pasuk? Vayar, Avraham Avinu sees, he sees an ayil, ne'echaz b'svach b'karnof. He sees a ram caught in the... Will we speak about this? I think maybe we spoke about this. Maybe now it's a different share. Right? A ram caught in the thicket. He goes over to the thorn bush. What does Avraham Avinu do? What does he do? He goes over to the gets the ram, shechts it as a carbon. The Kotzke Rav, Rabbi Nachman Mendel of Kotzke, asks a very simple question. It's a very profound question. How did Avraham Avinu know to offer the animal as a carbon? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avraham was, maybe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avraham Avinu was what? I don't want any carbonos. I don't want Yitzchak. I don't want an animal. No carbonos today. No carbonos today. I don't need any carbonos today. How did Avraham Avinu know? The Kotzke says that Avraham Avinu understood as follows. Avraham Avinu saw that the ayil was ne'echaz b'svach. You see, Avraham Avinu says, if the ram, would have just run over and laid down by my feet, Kotzke says, Avraham Avinu would have known that's ma'aseh satan. But I'll explain in just a moment. When he saw that the ram was caught in the thicket, you know, the pasuk goes out of its way to say that the ram was caught in the thorn bushes. So, you ever tried to get a ram out of thorn bushes? I'm not going to take a poll, right? But I have to imagine that if you try to take a ram out of the thorn bushes, what happens? Right? It's not so easy. You have to roll up your sleeves. Your clothing could get ripped. Your skin gets cut. Not pleasant. The ram struggles. See, Avraham Avinu understood as follows. If the ram would have just showed up at his feet, he would have said, no. That's not a carbon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But when he saw that the ram was caught in the thicket, and he saw that there was struggle, wherever there is struggle, there is always Kiddusha. Wherever there is struggle, there is always holiness. And this is incredibly important because, you know, society often tells us that the goal in life is what? To make everything as easy as possible. That's the goal. Let's make it easier. Let's make it more efficient. And by the way, that's a wonderful thing in many areas of life, to make things easier, make things more efficient. In science, it's wonderful. In technology, it's wonderful. And making things easier and more efficient works in every single area of life except. So the truth is, I would say Ruchnius or Kiddusha, but the truth is, it's really true in relationships. There are no shortcuts to building relationships. There's no shortcut. You know, I always laugh when, you know, you see 5 steps to building a successful marriage. I'd love to know 5 steps. I've been married, Baruch Hashem, 22 years, and I have not discovered 5 steps. I could take 25 steps, 35 steps, 142 steps, 5 steps. Now, there might be 5 major things, but there's not 5 steps to doing anything. There's no shortcut to building a marriage. There's no shortcut to building friendships. And there's no shortcut to building a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about the struggle. You ever wonder how it is that sometimes, right, isn't the great anomaly in Ruchnius? Anything else you do in life, right? If you want to go ahead and learn to ride a bike and you practice every single day, what will inevitably happen? You will be a good bike rider. And the more you practice, the better you become. You want to be a basketball player, the more you play basketball, the better you'll be. Generally in life, the more you fine-tune a skill, the better you become and the easier it is. Yet, isn't it amazing that when it comes to Ruchnius, no matter how hard you try and what you do, there is always a struggle, right? I don't think there's ever a day where a person says, you know what? Today, I am struggle-free. Now, over life, what could end up happening is, I could end up mastering, I struggled with this area, and I worked very hard, and now I have it under control, but then something amazing happens, which is usually what? Once you master one area, what usually happens? The struggle pops up somewhere else. The nature of Ruchnius is struggle. Growth only comes from struggle. Growth only comes when you have to act against forces which are pushing you back. Says the Shtefen Eshter something amazing. Now you begin to see. You see, Malochim are capped. Right? Is there any job growth in the Malach market? No. Pretty much, you are what you are. By the way, where do we see this? Right? We see this early on in Chumash. Where do you begin to see this? By Malochim and Avram Avinu, right? 3 Malochim are sent. Why? Really? You can't handle more than 1 job? Malach, you told Sari Imina that she's going to have a baby. You can't be the one who disrupts. I mean, why can't you multitask? Because Malachim can't do that. Malachim are what they are. They're Kula Kadosh. They're absolutely holy. But they have a one-dimensional holiness. Why? Why? Because they don't struggle. And without the struggle, there is no growth. And this is incredibly important. Because sometimes when we struggle in life with things, especially in Ruchnius, we sometimes make the terrible mistake of thinking that if I'm struggling, it's a sign that I'm failing. If I was better, I wouldn't be having this struggle. And in reality, it is just the opposite. Just the opposite. That when you are struggling, that is a sign that you are on the cusp of incredible potential growth. And the greater the struggle, the more intense the struggle, the greater the potential for spiritual growth is. The more your ram is caught in the thorn bush, the greater the opportunity that lies ahead. If it's too easy, if everything's going smooth, it's easy, fantastic. That's great. Enjoy it. But that also probably means that great growth is not in store. This is an incredible, you know, this is what the Gemara says. That, you know, the greater a person is, the greater the Yetzirah is. So I don't know if you ever, I always wondered about this, like, what does this mean? Right? So the Gadol Hadar has a greater Yetzirah than a simple person like me. I can't imagine that the Gadol Hadar struggles with the kind of things that I struggle with. But what it means is the Gadol Hadar deals with his own struggles. And they're not my, and his struggles are more intense because the greater the forces acting against me, are essentially the more, the thicker the thorn bush, the greater the possibility for accomplishment afterwards. And this is an incredibly important idea. Because sometimes we have in our mind this idea that I shouldn't struggle. I shouldn't struggle, right? And especially in Ruchnius, I've worked hard, everything should come easy. And if I'm struggling, it means that I'm failing. And it's nothing further from the truth. If you're struggling, it means that you're on the cusp of something great. The lower the valley, the greater the peak that lies ahead. Where there is struggle, there is incredible potential. And by the way, I would tell you this in general. This is true in general that as a society has taught us that we shouldn't have to struggle. And at the end of the day, if you're struggling, it's because you're not doing it right or there's a better way to do it. Now, sometimes that's true. Sometimes I'm struggling because I'm not doing it, whatever the it is, correctly, and there's a better way to do it. But more often than not, where there is struggle, there is incredible kiddusha. So therefore, says the Shtefan Esther, this is what the tzaddik has over Malachi Ashar. And by the way, in this context for each tzaddikim, because every single day I live my life in this raging river of Olam Hazeh, and every single moment I grab on to my spiritual buoy, I grab on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I cultivate, you know, I inflate my ruchni floaties, you know, so to speak, and I keep my head above water, I'm accomplishing something greater than any malach could ever accomplish. Now, what does that have to do with the Mishnah? Paragraph Zion. Here we go. V'ata ma'amaro shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now I begin to understand the same Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai d'amar. Im lamarat Torah harbe al tachzik tova li'atzmecha ki lekach notzart. Therefore, says the Rebbe, what's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saying? Here we finally get to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told us that if you've learned a lot of Torah, do not have great gratitude, or do not give yourself a shkoyach, because that is why you were created. What does that mean? Move on upashat ma'od. V'alo ha'neshama kodim yitzirasa. Hainu kodim shiyarda laguf. Before the neshama came down to this world, writes the Shtefan Esther, so the neshama was a malach. That's how he's defined. The neshama was a malach. And the malach was on a very high, elated spiritual level. So why does the neshama come down to this world, a place of such impurity? Listen to this beautiful verbiage. The neshama comes down to this world. It's a yerida l'tzorech aliyah. The neshama descends in order to ascend. It is descent which is a precursor to the ascent. Eish hachit aide koach hatorah leish kodesh. Because ultimately, again, lahafech eish hachit aide koach leish kodesh. Because what could happen? A person comes down to this world, and every single one of us has fires of passion that burn within us. And those fires sometimes make us do bad things. What's the goal? See, this is very important yisod. You never want to extinguish your fire. What do you want to do? Channel it. This is part of the beauty in Yiddishkeit. There is no such thing as a bad trait. There's only misappropriated energy. For example, again, the Rambam Hilchos Deos brings down the most destructive midah a person can have? Kas. Are you supposed to obliterate your kas? No. What are you supposed to do? Channel it. Kas is what? What is kas?
Passion.
Kas is passion. So if you could re-channel that passion, you could take that anger, take that energy and re-channel it, how do you re-channel it? How do you re-channel anything in life? That's where Torah comes in. That's where Ruchnius comes in. That's the life preserver comes in. Everything we do in this world is all to rechannel everything. To take the Eish that is sometimes used for hate and to rechannel it towards something constructive. He goes on, HaChoshech La'ar, to take the darkness and turn it into light. HaTumah L'Kedusha, to take that which is impure and to turn it into holy. LaHarim Atzma Ulizdabe Ka'oro HaElyon. The goal in life says the Shavar something amazing. Why does the Neshama come down? Why does the Neshama come down? Why would the Neshama want to come down to a place that is so filled with so many terrible things when it gets to reside in the celestial sphere? Why do we want to plunge itself into the raging river of Olam Hazeh? Because something amazing happens. Because when you come into the raging river of Olam Hazeh and you grab onto Torah, you grab onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you grab onto the constant, you could accomplish something absolutely amazing. You could take all of the impurity within yourself and all of the impurity within the world, and you could transform it into something magnificently holy. You could transform it into something absolutely amazing. And that is why the tzaddik, and that is why we, each of us, are greater than the Malachi Hasharis. Because, give me one moment, because if we choose to go ahead and convert all of that tumah within ourselves and within the world to something kadosh, then we've accomplished something greater than any malach could possibly imagine. Therefore, he says, "Va'ata kenim, v'chozos nasas rak bekoach haTorah." Va'ata kenim, dir Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, she'in lo la'adam lahachzik tova li'atzmo im lama Torah harbe ki lekach notzar. So this is amazing. So the Shtefan Esher says, "What is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saying? Remember what was bothering us this entire time about this Mishnah? What was bothering us?" But I have a choice. Why? I don't understand. Why? I could be sitting watching television the whole day. So if I choose to go ahead and learn Torah, I don't understand why can't I be machzik tova la'atzmi? Why can't I be happy with myself? Why can't I be proud of myself? Why can't I give myself a shkayach? I made a choice to live my life in a certain way. Why shouldn't I be machzik tova? Literally means like have gratitude towards myself. So Rabbi Yochanan, so says the Shtefanesh, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai saying something much more nuanced. In general, when are you machzik tova for something? I'm sorry? When you recover, when else? Well, you know, when is it that you have the greatest amount of gratitude towards someone?
When
it's unexpected. Right? Even though, again, of course, we should have gratitude for everything. That is absolutely true. But the reality of human nature is we generally express the greatest amount of gratitude towards someone when they do something that they did not have to do, that was unsolicited. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai could say, you know what? Maybe a person will say, of course I should have gratitude towards myself because I learned Torah, and learning Torah is a beautiful thing, and a lot of humanity doesn't do that, so I'm doing something wonderful. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, then you're misunderstanding what Torah is. Torah is the necessity of life, because without Torah, I don't have the spiritual life preserver. And without the spiritual life preserver, I'm going to get pulled in under the current and pulled in by the current and lose myself in the raging waters of Olam Hazeh. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai is saying, learning Torah is not just something nice. Torah is not just something nice. God is not just something that's value added to the package of your existence. It's the very reason we came down. Why did we come down to this world? Why did we come down to this world? Because I'm here in this world because I want to accomplish something that I could have never accomplished had I remained in the celestial sphere. What can I accomplish in this world that I could have never accomplished in the celestial sphere? Taking all that is broken within myself and within my world and uplifting it. How do I do that? Torah. Right? When in doubt, always answer Torah. Right? Torah. Right? Torah gives me the koach to channel. Torah gives me the ability to take, as the Shtefan Eshter called it, the Eish HaChet, and turn it into the Eish of Kedusha. Torah gives me the ability to take the Choshech, make it into Ar, Tumah, and make it into Kedusha. So when I come down into this world, I have the ability to lead a transformational existence. Because each of us are born with things that are broken inside of us. And each of us are born into a world that has many things that are broken, and we see it all around us. So what do you do? So there are two kinds of people in this world. There are people who look at broken things, and what do they do? Ay, Nebuch. I'm so sad. So terrible. Right? There are people who could tell you about all the things that are wrong in the world. All the things that are wrong in themselves. And what do they do about it? Absolutely nothing. And then there are other people who say, you know what? Yes, I have things that are broken inside of me. And there are plenty of things that are broken in the world. And why am I here? I'm here because... Why? I'm here to fix things. I am a Kodesh Baruch Hu's repairman. That's why I am here. I'm here to fix the things that are broken inside of me. I'm here to show myself and to show the world that the fire of passion need not be destructive. That the fire of passion, if channeled in the right way, can be something absolutely amazing. I am here not to be the person who constantly talks about all the things that are broken in the world, but actually rolls up his or her sleeves and does something to try to fix it. That's why I am here. I'm here not just to tread water in the raging sea of life, but I'm here to find my flotation device, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get on top of it and to figure out how to navigate these waters. That's what Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai is saying. He's answering the most profound philosophical question. Why are we here? Don't think that your Torah is just something nice. It's not just something nice. Why are we here? We're here in this world as opposed to our meaning malachim, in order to channel, in order to repair, in order to transform. And the only way to accomplish all of these things is through this great thing that we call Torah. in all of its aspects and in all of its details. And now, by the way, you begin to understand something amazing. And here's where knowing the history comes in. Why is this a profound statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Because what do the people in his generation see all around them?
Destruction.
They see profound destruction. Physical destruction, spiritual destruction. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says something amazing. Do not despair. Why? Because the most important building material is still intact. And the most important building material is Torah. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We still have it. We've been hurt. We've been scarred. We've been maimed. We've been injured 1,000%. But do not despair. Because the very building material of man and of the world is still intact. Remember again, you also begin to understand what was the first of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's three requests from Vespasian? Til yavna v'chachameha. If Torah is intact, then rebuilding can begin. Because Torah itself is the very flotation device. Remember again, they all know what it means to live life in the raging waters of Olam Hazeh, because they're living it. They're there now. So there, and remember again, Klal Yisrael probably at this point in time feels that they're getting swept away by these very waters. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, don't worry. We're not going to drown. We're not going to get swept away. The flotation device is here. The rak is here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. The building material is here. The next couple of years, and we're still in those couple of years, will be difficult, filled with challenge, and will be dark. But we'll be able to build ourselves. We'll be able to build our people. We'll be able to continue building our ruchnius. This was the message that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was giving the fellow members of his generation. And to take it even a step further, he was telling them, the struggle is a part of the human condition. We're going to struggle a lot. And the struggle is going to become even more acute as time goes on. But don't be afraid of the struggle. Because wherever there is struggle, Kiddusha is always close to follow. Question.
I think I might just ask you, if a person, not sure if this is like a right question, but if a person that like fails the mission, he like drowns, then he's not doing, he's not staying afloat. But maybe it's because you can't judge what.
You're asking a good question. I mean, look, generally, we never judge other people anyway. But, you know, what do you make of the life of someone who drowned in the raging water? Look, you know what? You never know the backstory of a person's life. You never know what their tachlis is. You know, what you and I might consider drowning for another person might be success. You know, for some people, just keeping their nose above water, even if the rest of the body is submerged, is an incredible success. For other people, you know, they need to be surfing on the raging river, not even just float. Who knows? I don't know how you define success. And Baruch Hashem, that's not up to us. The Ribono Shel Olam decides what's success. So all we need to do is try to figure out how to remain afloat. That's our goal. Yes?
So,
because you don't get credit for fulfilling the very purpose you were created. In other words, like the mashal, simple mashal is, you'll get a job one day, if you decide, and no one's going to be greeting you at the door saying, great job, you're here at 9, you're here at 9, really, really proud of you. That's the expectation. So there are certain basic expectations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has of us. So again, let's take this a step back. We do get reward. There is schar, right? So we get reward even though the expectations are there of us. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is just saying, the tachzik tov la'atzmecha, that lashon of gratitude, sounds like when you're doing something above and beyond. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is just saying, I want you to understand, Torah is not just a nice thing. It's not just something nice. Okay, if you get it, you get a shkayach. It's so much more than that. In other words, the tachzik tov la'atzmecha in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's model is minimizing the greatness of Torah. He's saying, Kilakach no tzart says, this is not just something nice you're doing. This is the very meaning of your existence. You're here to engage the struggle. You're here to transform that which is broken into that which is whole. And how do you do that? Through Torah. So to give you a shkayach would be minimizing what it is that you... Do you get the shkayach? Do you get the shkayach? Of course you do. Of course you do. You get even more than a shkayach. You get schar. And maybe in Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, both, one, whatever it is. But he's trying to make a point that is so much bigger than that. I want to show you something very interesting. If you take a look at number 23. So this is really our last source for this Mishnah. So this is from a sefer called Gan HaEmuna. I don't know, has anyone ever learned Gan HaEmuna? Of Shalom Arush. So Rav Arush is one of the probably, you know, leading teachers in Breslov these days. He has a whole series of different svarim. Right? It's Garden of Emunah. It was translated into English also, but the English version, I don't think, does justice to the Hebrew. See, he says this yisod, but he says it in more modern Hebrew, a little bit more flowery lashon. So he says something beautiful. 23 paragraph Aleph. Hanashama, shechilek elokam imal, kish haisev emkoma hamakori, haise roas ara Hashem yisparach umisaneges mimenu. L'chora, ein kirva gidola mizo. So remember again, he asks our question. The neshama was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So remember, he's not quoting Philo or anything like that. But he's saying the neshama was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It had kirva sa l'kimin, had closeness to God, proximity to God. There's nothing greater than that. Aval be'emes, hi haise rechoka me'Hashem yisbarach. So the Mechaber here posits that, you know, sometimes you could be close to something, but very far from something. What does that mean? You know, sometimes you could be close to someone. This happens all the time. You're close to someone, but you don't really know who they are. You don't really know them. You're close to them, I have proximity to them. This sometimes happens with parents, with spouses, with children. I'm close to you, but I don't know you. See, he posits, the neshama is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the neshama doesn't really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen to this. Mechaveh she'ilo ikiro se'izbarach, ki ha'neshama... Rak yada me oro hanifla vahamaanek. Ava mihu zehameir kokach, mahin midosav, hanhagosav upulosav, mahin kochosav, uritsonosav, ezehi lo yada. This is actually quite amazing. So the Mechaber suggests that sometimes you can be close to something, but you don't know it. Kol echa yavi yacho lahavin zos aderech mashal. Im haya omeid mulo adam nifla. Hamakrim noam vahofihot. Haye bevade mishtoke ma'od ladas mihu zeh adam miyuchad hazeh. Uladaber ito, ulahakir osov as pulosov. Vole mistap bepechach, shu omeid mulo af shisho tanu zeh. So meaning, if you were, he gives the example, if you were standing next to someone who was incredibly special individual, either because they were exceptionally beautiful or just gave off an aura, so it would not be enough for you just to stand next to that person, you want to know that person. So what is this idea? This is very intriguing. That the neshama is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the neshama doesn't really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So look at paragraph Gimel. O me'achar shebashamayim, ein yitzahara, ein kishayim, ein nisyonos chedome, ela hakol mu'ar ba'ar nifla uma'anik. Va'neshama ina zukuka sham la'ezrasu l'rachama v'al Hashem, v'lo yarechapo. So to say the rest of this outside, just for the sake of time, what the Mechaber essentially suggests is that the only way you get to know God is through struggle. It's only when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midst of struggle. Only when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the aftermath of your mistakes. He posits, do you know when you get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu best? This is actually an incredibly profound idea. When do you get to know God best? Not when times are good. When you mess up really badly in life, and you do tshuva, and you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still going to love you, and still going to welcome you, even though you messed up really badly, that's when you get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an experience that the Malachim can never have, because the Malachim don't commit Averis, the Malachim don't have Tshuva, and therefore the Malachim can never really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mechaber here posits very much along the same idea. Take a look at paragraph Vav. Ome'acha sha'asiba ha'yichida, she'bishvila nivra ha'olam hi'bishvila galos rachmona shalabore, ula ha'kira sabore yisbarach, efsharak ba'olam hazeh, she'votzvichem es harachmona shalashem b'chol rega v'rega, v'lachin tzvicha ha'isa ha'neshama laredes mimkoma, Ela olam agashmi, kedisha takir es barachman. You ever have this experience? Maybe some of you have this experience. When did you appreciate your families most? Right? So very often, So they say that some people spend a good part of the year in their seminary being homesick. Right? It's an interesting thing. I don't know if it applies to everyone, but some people have this experience. So this is an amazing thing, how somehow the things that were part of my childhood, all of these years, I took for granted. Now that I'm 6,000 miles away, I miss this. I never even thought about all of those things day in and day out. Because sometimes when you're close to something, you don't really understand it. It's only when you're far away and you don't have it that you begin to understand. The Mechaber suggests that's the dynamic of the neshama. When the neshama is up close by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the neshama doesn't understand God. When the neshama comes into this world and suddenly needs divine compassion, same compassion that it saw, just never needed it before, needs to be a Baal Tshuva, needs Rachmanus, needs forgiveness, suddenly the neshama begins to understand the true profundity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here in the Gan Emunah he suggests that we have to come to Olam Hazeh. Sometimes again, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. So it's sometimes absence or really distance makes the neshama understand who and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is. Sometimes you could be close to something, but you don't really understand it. It's only where there is distance that ultimately, again, I begin to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for who and what he is. So if you bring these together, it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is giving through his teaching the most incredible and profound chizuk to the people of his generation. Number one, don't be afraid of struggle. Because wherever there is struggle, greatness is sure to follow. Number two, life is the raging sea. And we have just been cast into that sea together. But there's good news. We will not drown. Why? Because we have the ability to hold on to the greatest flotation device in the entire universe. And that is the Ribono Shel Olam, his Torah, and all of its different branches and aspects. And if you hold on to that, then you will remain afloat. Not only do you remain afloat, but it is the very purpose for which you were created. Because when you anchor yourself in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when you hold on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you hold on to Torah, that bless you, that gives you the power to transform, and it gives you the power to build. This was the message that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was giving to his generation. And I would venture to say, it's this message. Isn't it amazing, by the way, that we're learning this Mishnah 2,000 years later? Isn't that astounding? That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's chizuk, mamish, kept us afloat. We saw all the takanos. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I told you, he thought I was being a bit hyperbolic, but I wasn't. I believe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is probably one of the people who is absolutely responsible for our existence today. What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai teach us how to do? He taught us how to mourn for that which we have lost, but to not lose ourselves in our mourning. He taught us how to anticipatorily pine for the greatness that is in our future, but yet not to become delusional with that future, but to become anchored in our present. He taught us that struggle is part of the fabric of the human condition, but don't be afraid of struggle, embrace struggle. Because wherever there is struggle, greatness is sure to follow. And he taught us that don't be afraid of drowning. Because at the end of the day, we have the greatest flotation device. We have a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And as long as you grab on to him, and as long as you grab on to Torah, you will be sure to keep afloat. You will be sure to keep your head above water. All right, stop over here for today. Emeret Hashem Wednesday. I think we're going to start, if it's okay, some in Yonei Chanukah. We'll tie it in. Do we have class on Chanukah? Class Chanukah, right? I think so. Good. So we'll start some Yonei Chanukah. We'll begin Wednesday. Emeret, we'll take it through next week. Okay.